Stacy. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me again to Romans chapter number 1, please? And then keep your finger in this area of Romans throughout the message, because we're going to be coming back there and moving around at other verses and then coming back again. Romans chapter 1, and that's on page number 1192. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings that we've had in our service this morning. And now we come to that most important part, the preaching of your word. And I pray that you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst. I pray that you might empower me to preach your word. I pray you help folks to concentrate. If there's one in this auditorium this morning without Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray this will be the grand and glorious day of their salvation. Bless your word. Help me to preach it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text for this morning changed the life of Martin Luther. These six words changed him from a lost man with religion to a Christian, a child of God. The result of what happened on the steps that day began what we call the Reformation. That resulted in the salvation of hundreds and thousands, maybe millions of people. The great truth that came to him as he was climbing up those so-called sacred steps were these six words: the just shall live by faith. Dear folks, there's no greater statement ever to be found in any book anywhere. No man ever spoke greater words. There's not a greater statement to be found in the Word of God: the just shall live by faith. When the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church at Rome, he said, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I want you to notice Paul says, as it is written. So it's already been written. Somewhere in the Old Testament, you'll find the words, the just shall live by faith. When you come to this great text in the Bible that changed the life of Martin Luther and took him out of religion and placed him into salvation in Jesus Christ, you ask yourself the question, well, where is it written? It's written in the little book of Habakkuk. Keep your finger there in Romans and go back to Habakkuk just near the end of the Old Testament. Habakkuk chapter 2, that's on page 956. Habakkuk chapter 2, and look with me at verse number 4. Habakkuk 2, 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, the reason this is found in the book of Habakkuk is because the prophet Habakkuk was preaching and prophesying. He was telling the truth of God to his people hundreds of years ago at the time this great prophecy was about to be fulfilled. The Jews, God's chosen people, the elect of God, were going to be taken into captivity. They would be into captivity for 70-some years as the Babylonians and the Chaldeans kept them in captivity. Habakkuk, this preacher-prophet, was disturbed. Habakkuk knew that the Chaldeans were very wicked. They had lifted up their soul to God in unrighteousness and unholiness. He could not understand how God would permit the Chaldeans to overrun the chosen people of God, destroy their land, and make slaves out of them. So God sought to give him peace by giving him an answer. And God said to Habakkuk, in essence, Habakkuk, now listen, I don't want you to worry about the wicked overcoming the righteous at this point. You need not worry about that, Habakkuk. Remember, the just shall live by faith. These Chaldeans will have a temporary victory, but they're going to die and go straight to hell. But since you are a child of God, trust him. The just shall live by faith. Is there something this morning you need to trust God for? Then trust him. Believe him. So the Apostle Paul says, as it is written. It's written in the book of Habakkuk, where God made it plain to the prophet preacher. God promised to his people, if you trust him, you can have eternal life. The Chaldeans or no one else in the world will ever be able to take that away from you. And if you are here this morning and you have eternal and everlasting life, nobody can ever take that away from you. So this same truth about the just being lived by faith is also found in three New Testament books. We already looked at Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. Now, if you will, go over to Galatians chapter 3 and we'll look at the second time. Galatians chapter 3. And you'll find that on page number 1244 if you have a King James Scofield Bible. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 11. But that no man is justified by law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And then the third time it's written in the New Testament is over in Hebrews chapter 10. So if you go over to Hebrews chapter 10 and look at me at verse number 38, Hebrews 10 verse 38, and you'll find that on page number 1301. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. As we attempt to study our great text for this morning, I want to divide it into three phases. Phase number one, the just. Phase number two, shall live. And phase number three, by faith. The just are dealt with in the book of Romans, shall live in the book of Galatians, and by faith in the book of Hebrews. The just shall live by faith. Every person in this auditorium this morning needs to have happen to them what happened to Martin Luther on those so-called sacred steps. They need that experience where they are born again and obtain the righteousness of God and are made a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Did you keep your finger in Romans chapter 5? Romans chapter 1 in that area. Go to Romans 5 now, if you will, please, and keep your finger somewhere in that area. Romans chapter 5, page 1197. 1197, Romans chapter 5. Look at verse number 1 with me. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans deals with the just. What is justification? When you are born again by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God looks upon you as saved, as a recipient of the righteousness of God. God in heaven makes a decree. He declares you righteous in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that justification, of that salvation, we have peace with God. And dear folks, that is something that the world does not have, and the world knows absolutely nothing about, and the world cannot give to you. They have no peace with God whatsoever. Making you are saved, making out that you are saved is one thing, but having peace down in your heart that nothing can disturb is another thing. Having religion is one thing, but having peace down in your heart that nothing can disturb is another thing. Look again at Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may claim that you have salvation this morning, but I ask you the question, do you have that peace down deep in your heart? If you don't have that peace down deep in your heart, then you're not saved. Then in Romans, we see that the believer has something else. He has hope. Look in Romans 5 and verse number 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That means peace for the future. A true believer has hope because he knows he's right with God and he has Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He's been delivered from the wrath to come. Unsaved people this morning around the world, they're worried about the wrath to come. All over the world, they're talking about the possibilities of a nuclear war when man might annihilate himself. That's what a nuclear war would do. It would annihilate the entire human race. Everyone who knows about the potential of such an awful warfare knows it would be the most wrathful thing that has ever come into this world. But dear folks, there is something worse than the wrath of man displayed against his fellow man, and that is God's wrath. And I want you to know this morning that God's wrath is coming soon upon this godless world and upon all Christ rejecters. But the just, the saved people, have been delivered from the wrath to come. Look at this promise with me, please, of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, page number 1267 in your King James Scofield Bible. 1267, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at this great promise of God for those of us who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. Look at verse 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven. That's what we're doing. We're waiting for His Son to come, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, now notice, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Thank God if you're born again this morning, you're going to escape the wrath of God. But not so with the lost. Turn over with me to the last book in the Bible, the sixth chapter, please. Revelation chapter 6. That's on page number 1336. Revelation, the sixth chapter. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 15 and following. Revelation chapter 6, beginning in verse 15. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? If you're unsaved this morning, I would run down this aisle and accept Christ as Lord and Savior at the invitation. No wonder the lost have no hope and have no peace. And so they turn to drugs and alcohol and other kinds of things to find some peace, but they can't find the peace. That peace is found in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Amen. I was very disappointed this past week. I got a letter stating that Sears, one of my favorite stores where we spend a lot of money, are now in the business of selling pornography on their website. I could not believe it, and so I got on their website and brought it up, and sure enough, you can buy all kinds of porn on Sears' website now, books and magazines and DVDs and all the rest. You can purchase them on Sears' website. They asked the CEO of Sears, why are you selling pornography? And he says, because we got to sell what people will buy, and that's what people are buying. Isn't that sad? It's sad that they're going to cave in and make these, and it's sad that so many people are buying them. The Bible tells us that the person who has been saved has the righteousness of Christ and has access to God, and I like that. Go back again if you kept your finger there in Romans chapter 4 or 5. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What a privilege that we believers in Christ have. We have direct access to God's throne. Let me ask you folks a question and answer it honestly. Do you ever talk to God? Do you? Do you ever talk to God? I talk to God every day, several times a day. I have access to God through His Son. I can go to the throne any moment of any day because I have what you might call the password. During the Civil War, there was a group of people in this country that we never heard much about. They were not soldiers fighting for the side of the South or the North. They were not soldiers as such. But there was this group of people in this country who said, now there's an awful war going on. People are dying. Soldiers are being injured by the thousands. Somebody needs to go and care for these people over and above that which can be provided by the two armies. So a group of people left their homes and went into the armies, out as not as soldiers, but they went out on the battlefields of the South and of the North to help the people, to help those injured and wounded and dying men as a result of that awful, awful bloody war. It is said in the lower part of the Midwest during the Civil War, there was a man who heard of many injured and dying people who are beyond the lines where which he was not allowed to go. But there was a password that would get him through. Late one night, this man approached a sentinel with a rifle, which was cocked, and his finger on the trigger. The sentinel yelled, halt! Give me the password. The man said, underground. The sentinel tightened his hand and said, you know you are just a breath away from death. That is not the password. The man says, well, I've been told that it was, and I've made a mistake. He did not know it, but after he had left the people in his company, the password had been changed. The man with the rifle, for some reason, said to him, I'm going to spare your life, but you better go back and get the correct password. He went back, and hours later returned. He was once again met by a sentinel with a rifle, with a hammer pulled back, and his finger on the trigger. Give me the password. This time, the password was the name of a man. He said, the password is Lincoln. The man lowered his rifle and said, you have it right. The name of Lincoln gives you access beyond these lines into this company. I say to you, dear folks, this morning, the God of heaven and the God of this Bible has provided a password, and that password is the name of the man, and that man is Christ Jesus. Amen. And the just of those who are righteous before God, it gives us peace, it gives us access, it gives us hope, it gives us deliverance. The just shall live by faith. Next, notice in our text, shall live. That's what the book of Galatians is all about. Now, the book of Galatians has a key verse. Turn over there with me, please, to Galatians chapter 2. One of the greatest verses in the entire Bible is found in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, page 1243. Page 1243 of your King James Scofield Bible. Galatians chapter 2. It begins by saying in verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. All of us are, if we're truly saved. You died in him. Your sins were upon him. The penalty was paid in him. Every believer can say, I am crucified with Christ. But that's not all. Let's finish the verse. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, or my faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is saying, I have been crucified. I have sinned. I deserve death. I died in Christ, but I live. Thank God we have life in Christ. I'm not referring to just physical life, being able to breathe, your heart pumping, taking food, seeing, hearing, and moving around. I'm talking about a life which lay holds on the Word of God and reaches out into the ages of the unborn. It's eternal life. It's a life true believers receive the moment they put their trust in Christ. Go back to Romans again, where you've kept your finger. Now go over to the sixth chapter. Romans chapter 6, just one page over. And look at verse number 23, Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You want to see something great about eternal life and what it does? There in Romans chapter 8, and look at verse 1. You're right there in Romans. Kept your finger there. Romans 8, look at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no judgment for believers in Christ because Christ lives within them. And because Christ lives in me, I can never die. It's impossible. Oh, you can choke the life out of this lump of clay that I live in, but you can never touch my soul. Amen. Look at me back to John chapter 11. Keeping your finger in Romans, the 11th chapter of John. And look at verses 25 and 26. That'll be on page 1131. 1131, John 11, look at verse 25 and 26. The Lord is speaking in verse 25. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, verse 26, notice. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I cannot die. You cannot kill a Christian. Oh, my body may die, but the real me, my soul and my spirit, will never die. I cannot possibly lose the eternal, everlasting life that I have in Christ Jesus my Lord. I can never lose that. Look at the Lord's promise back in John chapter 10. And look at verse 28 right there if you're still in that area of John. Look at John chapter 10, that great assurance verse of verse 28. And our Lord is speaking and he says, And I give unto them eternal life. Eternal means never ending. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, I may lose a lot of things down here in this life, but I guarantee this morning I will never lose that my life that's given to me in Christ Jesus. I never will lose that eternal life. I'm waiting for the upper taker to come to take us all to heaven. But if he doesn't, and I have to die, Chris Brandstetter, Chris, raise your hand back there. Let everybody see who Chris is. Chris is going to school to become a mortician and undertaker. I wouldn't sit too close to him if I was you back there. And God bless him. I'm proud of Chris. He's going to school to become a mortician and undertaker. He works part-time over at Hip and Stills Funeral Home, and I'm proud of him. But suppose that the Lord tarries his coming, which I don't think that he will, and I do die. So he'll come and get my body, take it down to the funeral home, and do the best that he can to fix it up, make me look as best as possible. So when you come by and look at my body, you'll look down and say, doesn't he look nice? Baloney, I have never seen a nice-looking corpse in my life. Now, when you come to that casket and look down at me, don't stare too long, because I get nervous when people stare at me. And if you say, boy, doesn't he look nice, I just might raise up and say, you don't look so bad yourself, honey. And while you are looking at this old lump of clay, I'll be kicking up the gold dust on Hallelujah Boulevard on my way over to the Tree of Life to take some fruit off of it and enjoy the fruit as I spend a little time swinging in my hammock beside the River of Life. Now let me wrap up my final thought. The just was described in Romans, shall live in Galatians, and now by faith in Hebrews. So go back to Hebrews chapter 10, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 10, page number 1301, and look at verse number 38. Hebrews 10, 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just shall live by faith. We continue to live by faith, and we die in faith. The just shall live by faith, continue in faith. Drop down to there to Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There's only one way to be saved. Did you ever think about it? The fact that we are saved is great, but the fact that we're saved by faith is the most wonderful thing in all of this world. Suppose that it had been decreed that the only way you could get saved would be by your good works. As I look over this crowd this morning, I think I'd be the only one that would make it. Or suppose salvation depends according to your possessions. I'd be left out, and so would all poor people. But the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Go to the last book in the Bible, last chapter in the Bible, please. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, last chapter, last book of the Bible. Verse number 17. Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit, that's capital S, the Holy Spirit, and the bride say, come. Actually saying, come to Christ. And let them here say, come, come to Christ. And let him as a thirst come, come to Christ. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely, which is salvation. That puts everybody on a common level. You can be penniless and still have faith enough for salvation. You can be of any color and have faith. You can have no merit whatsoever and still have faith. You can be educated and have faith. You can be uneducated and have faith. Faith is the one thing that gives everybody equality when it comes to being saved. Look again at those verses with me in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, if you would, please. And verses 8 and 9, page 1251. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When Abel was growing, his brother Cain said, I don't want any part of that bloody, gory religious stuff. I don't want any part of that. So I'm going to bring God something that's pretty. So he goes out into the garden and he gets some flowers and vegetables and he takes them to God, and God frowns upon him and God refuses him. Abel goes out among the flock and he takes a lamb. That lamb screamed when he put the knife to its throat and severed it. The blood ran. He put it up on the altar. The stench of burnt hair and flesh was obnoxious in the nostrils of Cain, but it was beautiful in the nostrils of God. Go back, if you can, just a minute, and let me read it for you in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4. Hebrews 11, 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. It was by faith. Abel said, this old-time religion, by faith, being saved by faith, that mom and dad believed in, I think that's good enough for me too. I'm going to put my faith and trust in that old-time religion, in my Lord Jesus Christ. He did, and he's in heaven. Cain didn't. And as far as we know, he's in hell. Are you traveling the way of Cain or Abel? Are you trusting in your works to get you to heaven, or are you trusting in the finished works of Christ on the cross? I hope and pray you're trusting in the finished works of Christ and his shed blood and his broken body so you could be saved. If your hope is in good works, I pray God will open up your eyes to the truth and you'll come to Christ for salvation. Because, dear folks, the just shall live by faith. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your precious word. We thank you for the truths of it. We thank you the just shall live by faith. We thank you that salvation is not in our works, but in the works of Christ on the cross. And there's so many people in our world today in Christian churches that are putting their hope of heaven upon their good works, and they're not going to make it. How disappointed they're going to be one day. And if that be said of some in our auditorium this morning, that they're trusting to get to heaven on their good works, I pray that you'll open up their eyes to the truth of the Scriptures. And salvation is only by putting faith and trust in Christ's finished works on the cross, his death and his burial and his resurrection. I pray you bless the invitation as only you can do. I pray you help folks make decisions this morning that 100 years from now they'll be glad they made. Save those who may be lost, reclaim those who may be backslidden, and comfort those that need to be comforted. Do a mighty work now in the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.